Hello, everyone. Welcome to this morning's not live stream podcast. If you're listening to the podcast right now, thank you so much for taking the time and hearing the Word of God here on this wonderful day on July 28th, 2020, Tuesday morning service. And I would like to start with a word of prayer. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we worship you. We praise you. We exalt you, Lord. We exalt your holy name. We thank you, Lord, for this small gathering here. We thank you, Lord, for those who are here, Lord, to worship you and to gather together, Lord, in one name, in unity. Thank you so much, Lord, for this fellowship. We exalt your holy name. Be magnified, Lord, forever and ever. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. The title to the sermon this morning is Being an Encourager in a Discouraging Situation. This is what I felt like talking about today. This is what I felt led to speak about. And I have recently encountered a lot of people who have been facing quite a bit of discouragement. And sometimes if we're not careful, sometimes if we are not paying attention, we could say the wrong things. We could potentially miss the target. Maybe the Holy Spirit is giving you these words to speak, to minister. He's bringing back a verse to remembrance. And he's saying these things to you, but then you fumble. Or potentially you might want to do things your own way and what you feel comfortable in doing. But this morning, I want to bring something to your attention to you that was somewhat of a revelation to me. And I was like, man, I've read about this guy so many times, but it has never clicked the way that it has this time. And I think this was a huge, huge encouragement and a stepping stone of what is the church today, of what we are today. Now, this is all for the honor and glory of God. And this is through the power of the Holy Spirit, as we're going to see moving forward. But what I'm going to talk about stems from the book of Acts. And Brother Dion, can I please have that? Acts chapter 11. And we're going to cover four verses from verses 22 to 26. We've all read this before, and we're going to read it again. And it says, "The news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them, all that with purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man." And this is very important here. "Full of the Holy Spirit and of faith." And more to come on this line right here. "And a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed to Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." Right there. This is what we're going to be talking about today. Now, in the beginning I said that the title to the sermon here is Being an Encourager in a Discouraging Situation, right? And how does that apply to the set of verses that we just finished reading right now? I want to read a quote that I came across by a name of, coming from a guy named William Arthur Ward. He said this, Flatter me, and I may not believe you. Criticize me, and I may not like you. Ignore me, and I may not forgive you. Encourage me, and I will never forget you. Pretty nice words, right? You do all these nice things to a person. These are all true things, especially to someone who's a skeptic. You can flatter them with so many words, but they might be a little bit standoffish. They say, wait a minute, where is this coming from? If you criticize me, I might not like you because I might not be able to take constructive criticism. Ignore me if you wish, but I've been ignored all of my life. And old memories are going to come back, so I'm not going to like you. I might borderline not even forgive you. But if you encourage me, I will never forget you. Just a word of encouragement. That's how much. Would you disagree? Would you be upset about someone who's trying to encourage you? Absolutely not. You can't take it the wrong way. Now, have you ever wondered how to encourage people during a discouraging moment? How is it that I can reach somebody? How can I touch somebody? How can I be an influence? Right in this moment where as though this person is hopeless, how can I be used by God? This morning we read about a man named Barnabas. We've all heard about this guy Barnabas, yes? The name rings a bell, right? We know Barnabas, but we never really hear too much about him. Directly about this man. Barnabas was rightly called the son of encouragement. This is what he was called. Because he knew how to inspire people toward greatness, if in case you didn't know. Barnabas is a fine example of a man who knew how to give courage. He knew how to give hope and fortify the hearts of those who really needed help at that particular time. Now, we also read about Paul. Paul is also mentioned, or Saul, actually, in the verses that we just finished reading. While others at that time, in the very beginning, were suspicious of the Apostle Paul, Barnabas stakes out his own reputation and puts his reputation on the line. And why do I say that? Do you know why? Why is Barnabas putting his reputation on the line in this very moment? Because Saul was known to be a persecutor. Mind you, right around this time, everybody still knew Saul. Word didn't get around that Saul had converted, that Saul was a believer, that Saul was a man of God. So therefore, Barnabas really stuck his neck on the line. I mean, this is the guy who went around killing Christians, right? Persecuting people, putting them in jail, beating them up. I mean, he was giving them the blues. Everybody knew who Saul was. He had a reputation. And Barnabas put his reputation on the line. Barnabas knew how to encourage the church leaders to accept this Saul as one of their own, is what we read here. The encourager knew how to look beyond the surface of the depth of Paul's love and his determination and the faith that he had in God. Now, I say that we must trust the Lord to help you for the emotional support that we need, for spiritual and social support in helping those who need encouragement. And we can always ask God to help us develop a ministry of encouragement for people who are struggling, for people who are discouraged, for whatever they might be going through. And how wonderful it is when we can be used by God, when we can be filled by the Holy Spirit to be an encouraging to others. I'm going to give you an illustration right now. The Duke of Wellington, the British military leader who defeated Napoleon at Waterloo. This guy, this Duke of Wellington, this British military leader, was not an easy man to serve under. The word is that he was brilliant, he was demanding, and not one to shower a whole lot of compliments on people that were underneath of him. Yet even this guy, Wellington, realized at his methods, that the methods that he had left something to be desired of. In his old age, a young lady asked him what, if anything at all, he would do differently if he had his life to live once over again. And right around his deathbed time, he thought about it for a moment, and then he replied, saying this, quote, "I would give more praises," unquote. This is what he said. The man who defeated Napoleon at Waterloo. He would give more praises. Even this man realized the power of compliment, of encouragement, and everything else. Now, one thing is very important for us to understand. Barnabas trusted God for personal encouragement, so he, in turn, could inspire others. It's very important for us to know this concept. And do not think that you can make a lasting change in the heart of people unless your encouragement originates from the power of the Holy Spirit. This is very important for us to know, as the Bible clearly tells us. Brother, can you back it up a little bit, please? Actually, hold on a second. The news came and encourage. And there we go. Verses 24 is what I want to focus on. Acts 11, verses 24 says, "For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith." Barnabas trusted God for all that he had, for his own personal encouragement, so he in turn could inspire others. Do not think that you can make a lasting change without the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. Phony encouragement quickly dissipates in the heat of adversity. And Barnabas was a man who knew how to draw his courage from our Lord Jesus, his words and his promises of our Lord. Unless we are consistently involved with drawing from the well of our Lord Jesus' living water, we will be tempted to encourage ourselves without pure spiritual motivation. And it's very important for us to always tap into that. And one thing that I found that ties very closely to what I'm referring to right now as far as encouragement is us being sufficient and feeling sufficient with what we have. Sometimes because we think that we lack so much, we rob ourselves from what we could be. And what do I mean by that? I'm going to refer to a quote that Paul mentioned in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 12. "I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." I think it's especially important for us to be very satisfied with all that the Lord has blessed us with. And for us to be perfectly happy with what we have and being content with what we don't have. Because oftentimes when we start thinking about the things that we lack, the things that we are missing, the things that we wish we could have, that oftentimes hinders what we can do, what we can be. It hinders us listening and tuning in to the voice of God, to be sufficient, as the Latin version renders it, or that sufficient which I have. Praise God. And we can always ask the Lord to help you find that encouragement. Don't be discouraged for the things that you don't have. Don't be discouraged of the lack that potentially you might think you have. Just this week alone, so many things happened, and I was sharing this with my wife just yesterday, that under any other circumstance, I would have been a little bit frustrated. Frustrated by how? Yesterday, it was my day off. It's usually family day. I told my wife, I want to do some visitations today. I felt like doing that since Sunday. Sunday, I said, tomorrow is my day off. I'm going to use my day off to visit somebody. And then I thought about people from the church, someone who hasn't come for a while. We get up in the morning. I tell my wife my plans, our intentions. Okay, we have breakfast and then we leave. And then there is this vehicle that I saw parked on the side of the road all the way close to Annapolis. It's in Crownsville. It's a pickup truck. It's a very old pickup truck that I wanted to test drive. And it's a truck that I've been eyeing for a long time, but it didn't have tags. So I go to my job, and I get to my job, somebody has my dealer tag. So I'm like, okay, why is somebody using my dealer tag? And I'm not even here. So I tell the one manager, I'm going to hide my dealer tag, because every time I need it, somebody's using it. And I wait 30 minutes for my tag to come back from a test drive. So that holds me up. And here I have to be in Annapolis. Okay. I get my tag, I hit the road. It's me and myself, my wife, my baby, and the Holy Spirit. So off we go. So then I put on my GPS, and I had been there before because I was just there at the mall on Saturday to buy a birthday gift. And the GPS takes me the longest possible way possible, right? And I tell my wife, this is not the way that we came here just the day before yesterday. Why is it take? So it took me around. It didn't cut me through the inside, right? The inside back roads where this residence is. It took me all the way around the highways and then dropped me off right there, right off the highway, and then two lights over, that's where the Annapolis Mall is. So when we get there, I said, this is the back way of the mall. So I go in the mall parking lot and then exit so I could backtrace my steps coming back, because I didn't have the address to this house. So I'm following landmarks. Okay, that bank was right there, and then that one building was over there. I think I made a right at that light, so I'm going to go that way. And it worked out, and I ended up on the right road. And I said, praise God, I'm not going to be upset today. I'm not going to be frustrated. Like, everything is just, it's not working out, but Lord, you're in control. We finally get to the place. Off to the left-hand side, I pull in, I get out, and in a matter of 2 minutes, according to my wife, the lady of the house pulled in. She's an older lady. Her granddaughter was driving. It's not her truck. It is a friend of her deceased husband. They're about to have an estate sale here pretty soon. She just sold the property, but This gentleman wants it advertised there at that location because he feels as though it'll sell fairly quickly based upon the geographical location, right? So he's been trying to call her to let her know that I'm coming, but she left her cell phone at home because she had an emergency and she had to go to the doctor's ASAP, so she forgot her cell phone at home. But here she saw me standing in her parking lot. Who is this guy? But then I'm parked next to this pickup truck, and she put one and one together, and she was very, very nice. Now, I just told you this long story, right? Of all these uncircumstances, why am I saying all of this? Because I shouldn't have been upset or should be glad at the circumstances that I'm in? Yes, that's why I'm saying that. Why? Because right at the very moment that I started speaking to her, when she approached me with a huge smile, I don't know why, because I didn't have a suit on or anything like that. Right? I just had a jeans and a button-down shirt. She greeted me with a warm smile, was very helpful, very, very nice. Then she shared with me that she had just come back, just like that. Shared with me that she had just came from the doctors. And she was a bit distraught, like her countenance changed a little bit. And she apologized that she forgot her cell phone at home and et cetera, et cetera. She hoped I wasn't there for too long. And that's when the Holy Spirit says, pray for her. Now, I told her, is it okay? I'm going to test drive this truck right now. Is it okay that when I come back, I pray for you? And she was like, she went like this. She was like almost startled. And then I said, first of all, I'd just like to let you know that I'm a minister. I am a pastor of a church. And I totally understand if in case you don't want me to, because a lot of people sometimes are, they're a bit reserved and they don't accept religion very well and whatnot. So if in case you don't, I totally understand. But I do serve a God that heals. And before I even finished saying, she said, I'm a Christian too. I said, praise God. And right there and in there, the Holy Spirit told me, this is the person that you're going to pray for. So I go on a test drive. I drive this vehicle. I didn't necessarily care too much for it, but that's okay. I didn't proceed with anything. But then I knew when I came back, it was never intended for me to make this purchase. This whole thing was about me praying for this lady who just came back receiving horrible news concerning cancer. And what if somebody had not had my tag on a 30-minute test drive and had me sitting there waiting? I would have missed an opportunity to serve the Lord and minister to someone. What if the GPS would have, what if I would have not relied on the GPS and tried to find my own way into this lady's house and backtracking the same way that I came or that I left from there? I would have gotten there too soon. I would have driven the truck and I would have left. And I would have missed my opportunity. But how many times situations in our lives play a role for a reason? And how many times we get frustrated and we get upset, and then what? We lose our blessings. We lose our opportunity to serve God. We lose what we are intended to do because we are centered in the lack that we have or in the frustration that we are in, and we miss the opportunity for blessing. Do you understand? In all things, Paul says, I am sufficient. I abound. I know how to be abased in all things, no matter what the circumstance might be. And as far as this lady is concerned, she called us in. She truly believes that it was of the Lord. She felt the presence of God. Right around the time that she got some of the worst news of her life, I praise God and I give Him the glory that I was there to pray for her. Amen. At the perfect time. Amen. Right at the perfect time. Amen. To Him be the glory. Ask the Lord to help you find encouragement, sufficiency, courage and inspiration through a growing time of personal devotions. spiritual meditations, and praise-filled prayers. Those are the key things. And also, get around people who are encouraging. Surround yourself around people who have a positiveness, if that's even a word. A positive vibe about them. Demeanor. A positive aura. Praise God. And Barnabas knew how to encourage others to see the best point that are in every single person. And why do I say that? By serving as an advocate for Paul, the early church learned how to focus on the potential, on the latent potential of a former enemy of the church. Here is a man who was an enemy of Christians, an enemy of Christ, a persecutor of the church. But because of Barnabas and how he encouraged those people, they saw the best in Paul. And ask the Lord to help you to bring out the best in every person. Choose to look at the part of the glass that is full rather than empty, or the negative characters of a person. Barnabas had great credibility in the eyes of the church leaders for three reasons, as we read. He was, one, regarded as a good man, wasn't he? He was regarded as a good man, indicating his benevolence to all, regardless of their background. The second, which is very, very much important, he was full of the Holy Spirit, indicating that he was in complete submission to the will of God. And the third thing that I want to bring out is that he operated out of a full, mature faith. Full, mature faith is something that I've been talking about without even knowing that I'm talking about it, to an extent. We are to graduate from milk and go to meat. We should be consuming meat. He was coming out of a Levite background. He was mature in the faith. Trust God to help you heighten your credibility, to heighten your credibility towards man. Expect your encouragement to make a lasting difference in the life of others. Ask the Lord to help you to grow in your credibility so that your encouragement will help a greater internal impact. Amen, church?
Amen.
Barnabas knew how to give people second chances. Thankfully, Barnabas gave John Mark a second chance. And even Paul, the Apostle Paul, eventually admitted that he was useful. And we can also thank Barnabas for encouraging John Mark to write the Gospel of Mark that has encouraged billions of people, billions upon billions. Have you ever heard the name John Mark? Yes? Well, You're often known as, what do you say? Isosceles. I know you have, brother. Isocrates. But a lot of people don't know that that's the name of the apostle Mark. Mark. John Mark is the name in the Acts of the Apostles, or the book of Acts, as an assistant accompanying Paul and Barnabas in their mission journeys. And traditionally, he is regarded as identical with Mark the Evangelist, the traditional writer of the Gospel of Mark. He was known as John Mark. I want to back this statement right now with a simple verse in the book of Acts. It's Acts chapter 12, verses 25. Can I have that, please, brother? Acts chapter 12, verses 25. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Brother Dion, can you flip it over to do you have the NIV there by any chance? Let me get the NIV version if you have it. Yeah. When Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. See there? John Mark. Praise God. The Apostle Mark. We can thank him for encouraging Mark, the Apostle Mark, for writing his story that has encouraged billions of people. Him submitting to the power of the Holy Spirit. Barnabas was not ready to give up on someone who Paul considered to be too risky to accompany him on a second missionary journey. Do not be too hasty to give up on people because of a few disappointing episodes. Remember how many times the Lord our God has given many of us, matter of fact, no, all of us, a second chance. The Lord has given me numerous, countless chances to make things right. If the Lord can give us a second chance, let us always be willing to give a second chance to someone else who might be hard to deal with. Ask the Lord to help you. Encourage those who need a second or a third chance, or however many chances they need. A great friend is someone who steps in when everybody else abandons them. That's what a great friend is. Praise the Lord, church.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to conclude right here. Let's close our eyes and let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And we love you, Lord, so much. Thank you, Lord, for giving every single one of us a chance, Lord, to make things right with you. You've given us, Lord, numerous chances, time after time after time again. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace and your love, Lord, that has no limit. And I pray, Lord, that we will have the same attitude towards one another, that we will have, Lord, the same attitude towards others out there, that we can be, Lord, an encouragement to every single person, Lord, we come in contact with. I pray, Lord, that you can teach us how to be mature. I pray, Lord, that you can develop, Lord, our spiritual life, our spiritual power, our power to discern. I pray, Lord, that we can grow closer to you, Lord, by one-on-one meditation. May we, Lord, become one with you, united with your word, Lord, the sword of the Spirit. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you can teach us, show us, guide us, fill us, Lord, with the Holy Spirit, just as you filled Barnabas, Lord, with the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that we will not focus on the things that we lack. I pray, Lord, that we won't focus on circumstances, or that we won't lose our blessing or lose our focus, Lord, on things that might not go the way that we want to. But we can always, Lord, focus on you. May we always, Lord, submit to you 100% of the time. We worship you, Lord. We bless your holy name. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.